You're listening to Face Off, Episode 1, recorded January 26, 2009. Hey folks, Jade Robbins here, one of the hosts of Face Off. I just want to let you guys know that this is really our first recording ever. It's pretty rough. We didn't really have any organization. We just kind of went into it. And, you know, there's a little swearing. It's pretty disorganized. So I do ask that you bear with us. Do listen to it. Let us know what you have to say. You know, be gentle. But, you know, we want to see if this is anything fun and useful for anybody. So here it goes.
So as somebody that's never even, well, I think I've done it one time for like 5 minutes, Ruby on Rails. What's the deal?
Well, you know, what's funny is everybody thinks I'm a big, you know, we joked on the Ruby rubber and stuff like that. Right. I really don't know much about it.
Okay.
But I have decided that it's good.
Okay. I mean, it's like you know, the new thing. It's web.
It's hot. Next thing, right? It's red hot molten shit right now, right? Everybody loves it. Everyone.
It's been that way for a little while, but it's not going away.
No, it's not going away. That's for sure. So people like Ruby because it's a lot. So why do people like PHP? Because it has familiar syntax and it's sloppy. It'll let you do anything, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Ruby is almost identical to that, but they got rid of the familiar syntax. They made it human readable syntax. They're trying to make it like look nice.
So no more curly braces. And
yeah, you don't have to. I mean, you can on most of those, but you don't have to. And so the whole point is like, I can look at code and be like, you know, whatever, do this. Like instead of, you know, like while, you know, or for each, it says do this. And you're like, okay. But that bugs me. I because I like familiar syntax, and I think a lot of people. That's why PHP is so popular. I mean,
isn't the other thing that it's everything's an object, right?
Yeah. Oh, everything. Yeah. There's no primitives in Ruby at all. Everything, which is handy for things like you don't have to do like whatever to strings or like integers to blah, you know, because it's already of like a method inside the object.
Okay.
So you can just be like this dot to double, but Either way, I think why Ruby is so, or Rails specifically, is so powerful is because it's a framework and people want frameworks.
Right.
Especially as like, I mean, I don't know, I've told you this before, but like, I think the way of the future is with these frameworks, I think building the application is easy. I mean, we've seen that with our blogs. We can install WordPress, create a theme, boom, you know? And then, but the bitch is, getting people to it and getting content up, right?
Right.
So as these frameworks get so powerful, people will just build applications like crazy. And as more applications are built, you're going to want that structure of a framework because maintenance will be a nightmare.
Right. So it's standardized. Like if you know, mm-hmm. another programmer can come in and work on your stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Without having to look at the code for 2 hours before he starts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, have you ever, well, you've done that, but I mean, have you ever done it with someone who's a terrible coder?
Actually, most of my projects I do myself. Like, I don't have.
Yeah. You know, so. See, we worked on this one thing when I worked in the student labs at Montana State where we rebuilt our time clock program. And it was really cool. We were really excited about it. We used a lot of Ajax for the first time. You know, we were super pumped. But the primary developer on it was this kid who was a buddy of mine who is a little eccentric. Like, he's ridiculous. So he's a math major. So, like, he likes to obfuscate things. And he'll go for the clever solution just because it's clever.
Okay.
Not when there might be an obvious, easy solution.
Right.
You know, and he's kind of like me in that sometimes he wants everything to be extendable. He doesn't like any hard-coded stuff to the point of it really almost drove him crazy. And so maintenance on this application is horrendous because he tried to make everything completely extendable, but at the same time, when the time crunch came up, he just kind of said, screw it, and like hard-coded a bunch of shit. So, like, I mean, it was just a nightmare to find anything. And like, they're still fighting that to this day, right? And so, I mean, if you... What's nice about it is coders think differently. Like, pretty anal about stuff. So I keep things really structured and I try and keep my names, you know, consistent and stuff, but some people aren't, and there's just different styles. And Ruby at least sets, or Rails and other frameworks. I mean, even PHP frameworks do this, set up nice constructs ahead of time saying, all right, well, you have to do this.
Right.
Which makes, I mean,
it's kind of like the Python that forces you to do tab indentation. Yeah. Versus people that do it automatically anyways.
Yeah. Like it's I'm like, an indent freak.
It forces the, you know, the people that don't do it to do it right. And then the people that do it right, they're like, no.
They're like, I like this. Awesome. Well, yeah. Yeah. Cause I'm doing it anyways.
Right. Yeah. So it forces, so Rails is like going to force you to do in a certain way, kind of not going to limit what you do, but put it in a certain way so other programmers can come and find out exactly where that piece of it is.
Yeah, and it's really nice. I mean, we're working on this project called Redmine, and we have an implementation of it where someone custom coded a program that will grab emails out of a IMAP account and create tickets based on it. And so we're trying to upgrade to the new version, and I'm trying to integrate that custom code. And it was really easy to find it. Like I knew right away kind of where to look. And I mean, and especially me being such a noob as I am at Ruby and Rails, it was nice to like be like, oh, well, that was really easy to find. I don't feel like quite the douchebag.
Is it just a MVC mainly, or is it, does it have like a lot of, you know, functions to get something done?
Oh, it's
like a library.
Yeah. So Ruby is, it's like the language of lazy coders. It really is, because it has sort of a, I mean, it has gems, which is sort of like a really bad version of CPAN / apt, you know? Mm-hmm. And so what really the power of Rails itself versus any other MVC is that you can grab all this stuff. And there's sort of this dependency hierarchy similar to like apt-get. So, you know, if I install Rails through gems, it knows that I also need to install RDoC, you know, whatever, you know, all the other stuff.
So it gives it dependencies.
Yeah, and it has, I mean, it, and then so all these really cool tools that people have written to be lazy can be integrated and used. So that's why they're like, so like, I mean, the database handler in Rails is just a Ruby project that they integrated in and then put into the framework. So it has like all the functionality and all that stuff of like a really good sort of package. And
does it have any built-in JavaScript stuff in it for you? Like, integrated JavaScript framework? Or?
I believe so. I honestly haven't used enough of it to really say.
Yeah, I don't know. Fair enough.
Word, yeah. I know it comes with Scriptacular's prototype in it.
Does it have a way to like authenticate? Like a simple, like, here you go. Username, password, just make a table in the database, and there you go.
No clue.
No.
We use it mainly with LDAP. So we have had to build some custom LDAP stuff for it, but I mean, like the nuts and bolts of it, I have no forking clue, dude.
But it would probably have something like that.
I'm sure it has to, right? I mean, it has like an easy plugin system similar to some JavaScript frameworks out there now that are getting support for things like that. So if someone writes something that's useful, you can just plug it in and use it.
So you have to have a template system. So where, you know, have loops and things in your page just display things. How is that like compared to PHP?
Well, it's better. I mean, obviously it's, so you can set, you know, there's like all sorts of default layouts and stuff that you can set, and it automatically inserts the layout into every view you create. So you don't have to like say like include this file, you know?
No, that's not what I meant. Like, let's say I want to, I have a database full of names, and I want, you know, if it's this page, I want to display this person's information based on this customer ID or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I
you
mean,
can lay it out. Like what's the variable? Where do you put is it the same kind of deal? Like echo something, or just print like this table row? Or?
That's a good question. Well, I mean, part of the MVC, I think, I don't know. I mean, I'm really shooting from the hip here because I don't know shit, but is that, I mean, you know, you sort of, through the URL construct, you can say that, right? So you would say like, well, no, it's like session stuff, huh? I don't know.
Well, it would be a get variable. You could do a get and then do a query.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Based off that variable.
I just don't know how integrated it is. It seems like it would have to. It really does.
Or just one of the syntax differences between that and PHP, like, you know, like the Zen framework, it's the same. Like you would echo Yeah, well, you do the function and then you echo.
If session equals, then echo.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it has to be.
You must use Ruby throughout the whole thing. Like, there's not a drop of PHP, right?
No, no. Not even
a drop. You can't even use it.
No, they don't work well together at all. If you install, what's it called? Passenger, which is an Apache module to run Rails applications, you can't have, like, in the same virtual, like, host directory and stuff, you can't have PHP and Rails.
Oh.
So, like, if you're on the same server and you want to install, like, let's say, like WordPress, you know, and you have to, like, create a whole different virtual host. Because by default, it's like, oh, so the root directory has a Rails app in it, so I'm looking for Ruby, and then it's like, what is all this PHP shit? Like, it didn't load any of it.
So then, like a dream host, you can't have both. You can't have a Ruby, like, let's say you have a domain, you have a Ruby. Mm-hmm. Ruby setup and PHP, you couldn't do that.
You can't, no. Because I'm thinking about that, because I'm working on Bozeman Review, and I want to use WordPress for my blogging, because I'd like to use WordPress as sort of the CMS for, like, the corporate about us stuff, you know, that is in the back end, and then Rails for, like, the meat of the application on the outside. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I was thinking you'd have to use a subdomain.
I see.
Like, about Bozeman Review, and then that you say, you know, because the root would want to be Rails, obviously it'd be Mod Passenger, because I'd want to, you know, Bozeman Review the root to be Rails.
I see.
But yeah, it doesn't work well together. They don't like each other. All right. So, you know, I just told you a little bit about Ruby and Rails. So why don't you tell me a little bit about your PHP frameworks you've been working with?
Well, I've been the only one really. Well, I started off with Cake, and mm-hmm. I didn't have any concept of the MVC, mm-hmm. you know, style. So I read through the documentation on Cake, and I was like, I don't get this at all. I'm done. I don't get it. Like, I read through it, and I'm like, where's like, how do I just, like, echo to a page? And, you know, like, I just didn't get the – you have to get the MVC model with that.
Oh, of course.
You can't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was like, all right, this documentation is terrible. I got to find another framework. I went to Zen Framework, and you know what? It was the same. The document, you know, like, it didn't – so I'm like, all right, well, I guess I could just got to – you know, get up there and just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just get in there. Just, can't say that.
I just put an explicit tag on the podcast right there. Explicit tag.
all right, lost my. So Zen. So I got into it, and I'm like, I got to learn this one way or another. I mean, the documentation. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out Zen is actually one of the. The documentation, it's not very noob, I guess, friendly. It's, you get a reference guide and here it is. Here's a bunch of library modules.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually, I would say Cake is probably easier. Once I got in it.
I know with Cake, at least there is a published book out there too. Like, I don't think there's.
Yeah.
Maybe there is. I don't know. I couldn't find one. But I looked at Cake a little bit because I was like, oh, there's a published book and I thought it would be good, but it's like, you know,
right.
Continue. I'm sorry.
No, and so then Zen, I was like getting into it, and then it wasn't until after I was messing with Zen where I was like, actually, this one, looking back at it and all the other frameworks, now that I've known a little bit about it, this one actually suits my personality versus where Cake, you know, mm-hmm. like I want PHP, you know, I I'm not really a fan of frameworks in general. I'm like, I want to hard code PHP myself, you know, but I want the benefits of having an MVC where a programmer can come in and, you know, modify my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Zen is less of a framework than all of them, I would mm-hmm. say, all of the ones that I've tried, at least.
That's what I've heard.
It's, you don't even have to use the MVC if you don't want to. You could just use their functions and modules.
All their helper functions. Right. Shit.
Like, if you wanted a function that says, verify this credit card number against the algorithm, you know, whatever that, the Loon's algorithm or whatever it's called,
whatever it is.
It can do that, just that. And then really? If you want the MVC, you can do that as well. Like, if you want to do the Ruby on Rails style MVC or Cake, mm-hmm. It's just a matter of changing your .ht access to point to the Bootstrap file that sets up the MVC, and then everything that gets pumped or piped through index.php gets redirected into the MVC style.
Oh, crazy.
And you have to set that up by hand. So it gives you a little bit of options on that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think Cake is set up automatically with MVC. I don't think you
can. I don't even think you can turn it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm correct, I mean, someone will probably correct me on this if I'm wrong, but I think Cake was developed pretty much to be, you know, sort of a Ruby or Rails clone.
Yeah, even though they say PHP. It's, they definitely say right on their website that we're not a clone.
Yeah, exactly.
But it kind
of is. Yeah, exactly. Obviously Zend is not. I mean, it's very clear that it is not. But Cake, I don't know. I would almost say, Cake, settle down.
The only thing I had trouble with, you know, everything was great, but the forms... If you wanted to have different sections of the forms or a different layout of how, you know, if you want a simple layout, like sign up, username, whatever, or sign up to a mailing list or check, you know, whatever, that's easy, no problem. But if you wanted to have something laid out like an order form for something, you know, multiple columns and it was difficult.
Really?
Yeah.
That sucks.
It's the least from what I knew how to use it with.
Well, yeah.
The nice things about it were like authentication. Like I built a login system in like 5 minutes.
Oh, that's why you were asking.
That's why. Yeah. That was easy.
And that's nice because that shit is a... I'm swearing. That stuff's a pain, right? I mean...
Right.
And like to hope you do it right, I mean...
Yeah, that's the other thing. This is a tested authentication method. If you use this way, this example in the reference, then you should have a pretty much secure authentication. You don't have to worry about... sanitizing the data that's coming in or whatever. And then the other thing that it had is it had a Dojo JavaScript framework. I didn't know really much how to use any of the JavaScript stuff, but basically you just hit enable Dojo and then you pick a theme and all your forms, you just add a parameter to each one of them and it's automatically Ajaxed.
Really?
So like if you want a JavaScript thing to say like only don't accept empty values in this field, it'll automatically be set up, and when you hit submit, it'll automatically do the red alerts next to each form field. You know,
that's so it's awesome.
Like, okay, this is wrong. Go fix it.
Yeah, I should totally. I might have to look at Dojo because I mean,
yeah, I know why Zend picked Dojo is because Dojo is more. They're if you go to their website, their first example is about forms.
Yeah, out forms nice. And things.
It's not like you know jQuery where it's got the core where it's like. You know, I want to change this value, the CSS value selector and all that stuff. It's more plugin based, like more application.
Like. Yeah. Well, like a lot of people use things like prototype and jQuery just almost because it makes regular JavaScript simpler.
Right.
I mean, they don't even use, a lot of people do, but a lot of people just use it just because like, I mean, I get tired of doing dot get element by ID quote, you know, and you're like, and then with, you know, prototype or jQuery, it's like $%, input.
And I think to do simple things like that, where you know, I want to change the value of the submit button, or I want to, you know, unhide, I want to toggle this so it shows up when I click this button or this link. I think jQuery is better suited for that. But for Dojo, it's, you know, this form thing. That's, I see why they picked it.
Like, it's almost like more of a style.
They have themes and stuff for forms, like where you can modify it, one theme file and all your forms change based on that.
They have a really nice looking website, Dojo.
What else?
They definitely have a graphic designer working for them.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
I wish I had one. Yeah. I'm terrible at that stuff.
Oh, I know. If any graphic designer that's good wants, you know, do some pro bono work, we know people. That's all I'm saying. That's like the one thing I don't have in my network yet.
Yeah.
Like I'm getting some like really good Rails programmers, like some good PHP programmers, like some good business people, but I can't get a goddamn graphic designer to do shit for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to start hanging out in the art college.
The other thing that was nice that I immediately fell in love with was the query select and insert stuff. It's just you send an array to this function.
Really?
I'm one of those guys that caught, like, when I want to do an insert or a select, I know the SQL. That's not a problem, really.
Yeah.
It's the, you know, you got to do this query. You got to set up the database in PHP. Mm-hmm. You got to, you know, and I don't have that stuff memorized. I know how to do it. You know, I've done it a million times.
Yeah.
But I don't memorize it. I go to the php.net, look up MySQL query,
you know,
and then look at the syntax and be like, oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
So that made it easy. It's like, just pass this this array into this, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like you just in like some config file. I mean, that's another benefit of framework. Somewhere in the config file, you just say, you know, here's my database, here's my username, and it's just, you know, boom, it's just there.
Right.
There is no tough acting to act in here.
Boom, tough
boom, acting. Tough acting. Yeah, that's nice. Because I'm the same way.
Right. And then the benefit of that is you can have two different databases. You can make the same call in your program, but in your config file, you just have two different databases, a testing server and a production.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much
one line. You switch it and you're done.
Yeah, pretty much every framework has like the testing, because right. that is a pain in the ass.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's cool. I'm still looking at Dojo. I think. I don't know. I think we both kind of came to the conclusion today that, well, especially me. I've always been very resistant to trying new things, especially JavaScript stuff, like JavaScript frameworks, because I hate JavaScript anyways. I think it's the devil.
Well, you go to these websites with way too much JavaScript, and it slows down the page scrolling, and it just makes a mess of things. Yeah. And it's not that JavaScript's bad; it's that it's sometimes used to where it obstructs the main goal of the website. You know, you want your website to be easy to use, and you know, sometimes they just have too much stuff on it.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. And you're like, well, I mean, what does that add?
Before you say, oh, this is a fancy, cool JavaScript thing, I want to add it to my site, you got to ask yourself, what benefit does this have? Is there usability? Like, what added value does this add other than looks nice? Which that in itself can be a value, but you got to make sure it doesn't take away from something.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. I took off. Back to Zen. Anyways, okay, tell me about Zen. What do you like about it? Keep going.
Oh, the other thing that's nice about the forms is you can sanitize and validate things. Like, it's got everything that you'd ever want to validate or sanitize built in.
That is awesome.
Let's say you want to say, I only want to accept usernames, you know, like the general username. You can underscores and hyphens, but you know, you don't want a percent sign or something goofy.
Yeah. What if it's your last name is semicolon drop table?
Semicolon drop. It's simple. It's like, it's validate username and then like colon username double quote username, double quote, end it. And that's it.
That's awesome. Just add it to the form. That is really awesome.
And not only will it add it to the PHP side where it's like, when you submit, it's like, I'm sorry, you know, like let's say they have JavaScript turned off.
Mm-hmm.
When you hit submit, it's going to say, you know, that username is not valid.
It's still do it on the back end as opposed to
What I'm saying is that one line of code saying, validate, you know, what, that it's a username, it's going to do JavaScript side and PHP side.
Oh,
if you have the Dojo thing turned on.
Oh, okay.
If you don't have it turned on, then you wouldn't have the JavaScript.
That's handy as hell.
Yeah.
Because
so you don't have to write two different codes for both.
Mm-hmm.
Although, but you can, you know, let's say you want a different custom message for JavaScript. So like you want to say, sorry, the usernames, you know, try one of these usernames. But on the other side, you want a different message, you can do that.
Yeah. Well, because that, I mean, that's one of the scary things as a web developer. I'm not 100% pro, and I don't think I don't have enough experts around me to feel safe in what I'm doing all the time. Uh-huh. I mean, there's like Nikto scanners and stuff, and hopefully they'll catch stuff. But the problem is I feel too stupid compared to like most hacking robots out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So things like this are really nice because I mean, like, I don't trust my regex skills. I can say like, well, look, I tested it 5 times, but I'm almost guaranteed that some hacker out there will find something that I didn't think of, and then I'm going to come in and my database is going to be full of, you know, Viagra pill ads or something like that. Like, it seriously scares me. I mean, I would be reluctant right now to like strike out on my own as like a web developer.
Right.
You know, for someone else, like for a customer, because they could come in. I mean, I would not feel safe to say, like, I know that you're not going to log into your banking website or, you know, your website for, you know, I don't know, you know, integrated wiring or something like that, you know, your corporate website and have shit all over it or, you know, just bad hacked, you know, spam all over it, because I don't feel secure enough in that yet.
Yeah. So that's an advantage of the Zen where, like, you can have, you know, that stuff's done for you.
Yeah.
But at the flip side, you know, if you want your own regex, let's say you got some special input that you want to get, like you want to get
spend 5 hours on this one regular expression.
Well, no, like some special, you want to know the model number on something that requires a percentage sign or something goofy, weird thing. You can put your own regex with that, you know, built in, like it's got a function for that.
That's
you don't have to hard code it. What I'm saying, you don't have to hard code your regex in. You can, there's a function that says a custom validation value.
It sounds like Zend is sort of the PHP framework for traditionalist PHP coders. Because where I know at work right now, they're trying to really transfer a lot of these PHP coders that we have to Ruby.
To Rails.
And there's really two battles there with it. They have like, you know, they bought like 3 books of like, you know, Ruby on Rails for PHP coders and stuff like that. And these books, I've read both of them, are not good. I don't think they're very good at all, because there's two battles there. Like, you can't say Rails for PHP coders, right? Because Rails is a framework, you know,
right.
And PHP is a language.
Right.
So totally. I see these guys, like, they're not only struggling with learning Ruby and sort of the Ruby way. Cause I don't know, if you ever meet any real Ruby coder, they immediately talk about the Ruby or Rails way. Like, it's a cult. It's kind of creepy. But not only are they trying to learn that, but at the same time, I mean, learning an MVC is tough if you've never done that. I mean, as much as I'm really particular about things, you know, I even tried to make my own. I mean, I look at it now and I almost made sort of my own framework for how I do web applications. Uh-huh. Learning MVC is difficult. So I look at these guys and they're trying to learn MVC and Ruby at the same time. And it's like, oh, goodness, this is not going to work, right?
Right.
I don't know. And so it sounds like Zend is a good sort of halfway stepping point. So these hardcore PHP guys don't have to completely disconnect themselves from what they've done in the past. But at the same time, you can have, you know, structure and helpers. I mean, that's a lot of it, right? PHP doesn't have that. I think Pear is terrible. I hate Pear. So having a repository of good code that you can just use for ad hoc stuff at help seems really useful.
Yeah, and the other thing is that's part of the reason I didn't go with the Ruby. It was I know PHP. Why learn a whole nother language and MVC at the same time, like you were saying?
Well, and it's not – learning Ruby is not like going from like C to PHP or Java to PHP. I mean, I learned Java in college at first, you know, like just a little bit. And going to PHP, I was really excited because I was like, oh, man, it's like pretty much the same thing. I'm sitting here coding and it's like identical, right? You know, it kind of follows the same sort of standards. And Ruby takes all that and just chucks it out the window and puts a couple bolts in it, you know, while it's flying through the air, because it does not follow any of that at all.
Yeah, that's – the other thing with Zend was you have all the Web 2.0 style services like Delicious, Flickr, Amazon, Akismet, Technorati, Twitter, all that stuff. Especially Twitter, you see on people's web pages they're integrating it.
Oh, yeah.
And everything else. Even businesses are starting, like MailChimp. If you just check that out.
No, what is it?
It's a service where you can mass send email for companies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
But anyways, they have a Twitter thing at the bottom of their deal and it's integrated.
Oh, okay.
But the Zend thing, like it has functions, all that for all those services, all the API services it's built in is Zend.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
like, I know a couple of PHP coders in general that might use something like that, you know, like a reliable Twitter code or something like that.
Yeah.
Because we all know, well, and this is like one of those things, Twitter's built in Rails, and it is not stable in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, right? I mean, let's say you're a coder, and you're like, I want to integrate Twitter. You could go to Twitter's thing and read their API and say, okay, here's how I do it. I got to send this XML through curl or something and get it back. well, they've already done it for you.
Yeah, why not? Why are we reinventing the wheel so much anymore?
Terrible. It's good to know how to do it. I guess if you had to, you can go read the API. But if they've got it for you, it's, you know, that's pretty good.
Oh, that is nice.
And they've got a PDF creator.
That, yeah, man, the
built in,
the, like the vanilla PHP one is
pretty much anything really you'd want on a, you know, a e-commerce site or any site really.
So what have you built with it?
I built a PO system. It's heavily based on forms, and that's where I ran into problems. The layout of the forms, because I was trying to do a, you know, the easy stuff is okay, ship to on the PO systems, like the name, the address, the zip code, all that stuff in a line, right? And that's easy. But then it was like I ended up solving the problem because it was field sets, you know. You can separate with field sets.
Oh yeah, I have a story about that when you
okay, that was the key, that was the ticket. There's a thing in Zend, in the Zend form, where you can specify a field set and you can group the form, and then it was all right.
It just, that was the key for you.
That was the key.
Oh, okay.
That was my trouble. Before I found that, it was a mess.
Really?
But after that, it was easy. So it's I guess it's all about learning about, you know, how it works.
See, that's really funny because my story is I was working on this Ruby application that another guy had developed, another really beginner Rails developer, and so part of it was I was just doing some look and feel stuff, trying to make it look nice, you know. And so, like, one of the things I did is I took, he had this just one big long form, you know, and I put it in field sets.
Okay.
And I mean, you know, as far as any language I've known, when you put thing in a field set, the back end handles it the same, right? I mean, it's not, as far as I remember, like I know in PHP, if you put stuff in a field set, it still returns the values the same. Uh-huh. Like it doesn't change it. Well, I don't know. I really should look this up because I don't remember. But like Rails does not at all. It totally broke the application. So me and this other like new developer spent hours and hours trying to figure out what the hell was wrong, or looking for a tag we didn't close, or you know, an end that we didn't put in our code or something like that. And in the end, it was just that I put the things in field sets, and somehow on the back end we needed to change it to handle them differently. I just got rid of the field sets in the end and said screw it. But
The other thing that messed me up with the forms was that, you know, normally when I do a form anyways, where I used to do was tables with table rows, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't use that at all. It's data type. Ooh. And data, what is it? DT and data list and data type or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Is that like XHTML1 or something or what? I've never heard of those. I mean, I heard rumors, but.
And also anybody that's listening, the display, it was called display group is what you need to use. If you want to separate your forms, you have different display groups.
Damn it.
But yeah, DT, and DL, I believe it is data list and data type.
So, I mean, does it functionally, is it just the same as a table?
It's basically an unordered list with titles. So it's fruit, an apple, banana, orange. And then you've got, vegetables, tomatoes, carrots, and whatever, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
And it separates it by that type. So the first, it's basically the type is name,
mm-hmm.
and then your value.
Huh. That seems cool. I'm feeling kind of stupid here now because I don't know anything about them, but.
I didn't know anything about them until I found, you know, you started using Zen Framework. I was like, what the hell are these things?
Yeah.
I'm used to using a table layout.
Yeah.
But it's nice because it's just tags around it. And then you can specify CSS to put them on the same line, float them left, right, or whatever.
Oh, okay.
For the labels. Nice.
I love CSS.
So what else have you been doing?
Playing with WordPress really is my big thing right now. I'm really a WordPress fanatic, I think.
Do you like the new 2.7?
You know, the biggest changes are all on the back end.
Okay.
They really changed the look of the admin interface. I like the new flow, like the new locations and stuff. I don't like the new color. Just really gray. I wonder if you can change that. I have a feeling you can.
You can change it back to there is a themes for the admin section. Yeah.
I should have looked around. Some fanatic, huh? But yeah.
Other than that, I mean, you know what I have to compliment WordPress on is nothing ever changed. Like, nothing breaks when you update.
Man.
Like, everything's backwards compatible. Like, it's not we've depreciated this. Now you should remove it from your template or, you know, your template's now not working unless you add this or change this.
Yeah, totally.
I have to compliment that out.
The WordPress team, I don't know how they do it. They're amazing. So yeah. Where is this at? Where are we looking here, Mark?
Well, I'm afraid to log in on this computer. So.
Oh.
I'm just going to go to the WordPress site.
Okay. Well, you know, if you had a Linux USB key. No, there's no CD drive on that thing. But USB key, you could totally log into it. Where are you at? Where are you at? I don't know. But, I think...
Here... Go ahead.
I think WordPress is a great example of just a good application that people can use in different ways, right? I mean, it was started as a blogging system, but I think it's a great CMS.
That's, all around, general CMS. Know,
and I mean, before you used to have to hack it a little bit, but I mean, you and I we jumped into templates and just, I mean, almost immediately, it just made sense. They did it right, you know? Like you create your header file and you create your footer file and your sidebar file. And there's, you know, three functions that you can use to call those in. And it just feels right. You're like, okay, I'm calling in the header with has all, you know, and then in there, there's just a loop and tags. And then you just WordPress tags. If you want to print something, you just put that tag there and it spits it out.
Yeah. The first time I saw WordPress's code, I looked back and I was like, wow, this is awesome. Seriously. Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that I've started, I haven't done this in so long, is start from scratch on something. Like not update an existing thing or whatever, but just start I mean, nothing. No, see it, nothing. Just start. Don't go off somebody else's template and then add it and modify it. Just start with nothing and go from there. No, make a Photoshop thing. I learned
like
so many so
hours
much.
Like, oh, what is the thing for can anyone remember from I can. It was like the doc type at the top.
Oh, that's one of those like the MySQL query. I don't memorize that stuff. I go and copy and paste it from W3.com or
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly. Copy pasta
or whatever. But if you want to learn about CSS, start from scratch a site.
Mm-hmm.
Just nothing.
Yep.
And work through it.
Yep.
It's even better if you start with a Photoshop design where you have to mimic that at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you start CSSing and, well, I don't want rounded corners now because it's too hard to do.
Yeah.
If you have a Photoshop of something you like and then you have to come back and then you got to try it with CSS.
Yeah.
You will learn CSS in one project.
Oh, yeah.
And you won't know every trick, but you will you will have it down.
You'll like, yeah, exactly.
I probably doubled my CSS knowledge just doing that.
Isn't that hardcore?
Yeah.
And you start digging through like the API and like you're like, oh, well, this is what I got in trouble with because I would dig through the documentation, the WC3 or W3C documentation for CSS and be looking around and be like, oh, this looks cool. I'm going to try it on this thing. And then it like totally messes it up. You got like a div over in the corner and you're like, where, how did that get there? Or like, yeah.
Yeah.
But then the dreaded check it in Internet Explorer.
Oh,
that hurts, doesn't it?
I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, they have plugins that make Internet Explorer work like Firefox, JavaScript calling. I mean, that's how bad it is.
Yeah.
Now.
That's, whoa, hey there.
What was that?
Oh, I emptied the trash on the computer. Internet Explorer is different on every level. It's different with how it handles CSS. It's different on how it handles JavaScript. Have you ever run into trying to debug JavaScript on Internet Explorer?
If it doesn't have Firebug, I don't know what to do. Oh, that's something about Dojo. They have a built-in Firebug, that works in browser.
No way. Yeah.
It's not as, it doesn't have all the functionality the one, because it can't really.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's possible.
You wouldn't, I wouldn't think you could have all the functionality. Maybe it does. I don't know. But yeah, it has a built in one. Like, let's say you're on Internet Explorer, for example, and you don't have Firebug. The Dojo framework has a built in Firebug.
That's handy.
That's inside the browser.
That's handy.
Like, or like, it's that's inside the page
mm-hmm.
at the bottom of the page, where you just say call Firebug. Debug.
See, this is funny. Something. You're a Firebug guy. I'm a web developer toolbar guy, right? I mean, this is
what's that one? The Firefox extension, the web developer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I use them both.
I do too. I have them both installed.
Okay.
I tend to use Firebug. Seems to me a pain in the ass to find stuff. Like, I want you click inspect element, right? And then what I want to do is go up to that element, get it highlighted by the little thing telling me I'm inspecting it. I want to click it to it, and I want it to take me to the code, and I want it to take me to the CSS.
So you want to click on the actual page in the div, and it goes to that CSS, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, that CSS that and nice. That div. I want to see that. Like, I always keep doing this. I have to like click 5 billion plus things
to find
the tag.
Here's what I do. Let's say I see an H3 or something that I want to see what the style is on it, and the text on the H3 says a smaller number. I'm just reading WordPress's header right now. A smaller number. I'll go into Firebug, open it up, hit search on the HTML, a smaller number. And usually I'm right there.
Oh, really? You
yeah.
can search?
Yeah, you can do a search.
Oh, I should have looked, huh? But see.
Well, I mean, you don't. Let's say the title of the page is a smaller number. Mm-hmm. You're going to type in a smaller number and you're going to get four things before you get to where you want. But
yeah.
It's usually right away. You get right where you
close enough that you don't have to do 2 billion pluses sitting there.
Yeah.
Plus. Yeah. That's such a pain in the ass.
And that's how I use it.
Really?
How do you find it? I mean, does web bar, toolbar, or whatever have that built in? Or you're just saying you'd like to see that in Firebug?
I'm not sure if it does. I haven't used it much lately, to be honest with you. The one thing I used, oh man, this is handy, using the web developer toolbar, is you can have it fill out forms for you.
Mm.
So
I don't know. I never was a fan. I guess I need to try it out. It seems like, to me, it would be something I wouldn't want.
Why? Okay.
I don't know.
When you start debugging JavaScript on a form, if you've got some fancy JavaScript on it, like I was working on, it was like a registration for a conference.
Okay.
And so like if you attend you know, pre-session one, you cannot attend. You cannot attend.
Okay.
X and X session. So
you don't want to fill in all that.
Like
crap.
On click, yeah. You say like, so, you know, on click of this one, disable these other two and stuff. So, but there was basically two pages of insert information, all required information before you got to get to that. So there was just like, you're just like form, fill out form information, boom, and it was smart enough to like tell. You know, basically what it does is fills the value to be the form name and then like one and then two. So like if I had a form input name, like first name, you know, uh-huh. It would just be like first name one. And then the next time it hit that first name two, first name three, you know, and it just, and like if it's like named email, like it just puts an email address in there for you and stuff like that. It's pretty handy. I enjoy it.
Can't you do like, put if post, you know, variable is not empty, put it in the value and then just hit back in your code. You'd have that. And then if you hit back, it would be there.
Yeah, you could do that too.
I mean, if I fill out a bunch of stuff and I hit back for, you know, let's say it's a 2-page form mm-hmm. and I hit back and my stuff's gone, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's a pain in the ass. I agree.
So I think,
put in backwards compatibility, okay. Here's the other thing too. When you're working with JavaScript, sometimes you just need to start fresh. It doesn't matter what browser it is.
True.
Like, I mean, there's been stuff where we've been working with Ajax stuff hours. I mean, about ready to pull your hair out.
And you didn't refresh it.
It just didn't know. Well, it didn't your browser. Like, it's so goofy sometimes. Like, even the
meaning
if you do like the Control Shift R in Firefox, which is a hard refresh where it removes the cache, JavaScript is weird enough that that will not work sometimes. On Firefox. I primarily develop in Firefox. So. Like pulling our hair out, and then finally, like, you know, we're like, let's go to lunch. We close the browser, come back, and it worked. And you're like, so it
didn't apply or whatever.
Yeah. Man.
They need to have like a timestamp on the bottom or something. MD5 hash or something.
What was it? There's that's news like about MD5 hash.
It's like the WordPress cache, you know, like, you'll be developing and you'll have the cache turned on and nothing will be applied. And you're going to be like, what's going on?
Exactly. And you get really pissed.
20 minutes later, you're like, oh, I got the cache on.
Like, why did I leave the cache on? What is wrong with me?
No.
Yeah, that totally happens all the time. I've done that because you make a post and you're like, where's my post? Why is my post not working? What's going on? And then 2 seconds later, it's like, oh yeah, the post. No, we're recording. Okay, never mind. I thought for a second we weren't recording.
Oh.
And I about soiled my pants. I would have been very upset.
That would suck. What are we at? 20 minutes? Half hour?
48 minutes, actually. Wow. Closing on an hour.
Wow.
Damn.
Okay.
So here's the question. I thought of a question earlier that I want to ask you. And it's not so much a question, but I want to discuss this with you because you're a pretty smart guy and you follow kind of the same things I do. But so, you know, you like Gary Vaynerchuk too, right? He's all about sort of like this personal branding, and I mean, it's a good thing. And here's my question, right? So I'm rebuilding my jdrobbins.com, and I'm not primarily a web developer. You know, I'm more like it sounds pathetic, but I'm more of like an idea architect. I like to think up things and I never really properly execute them. But I'm not going to say that on my website, of course. But so here's the deal. Like, I mean, some of the things I'd like to talk on my blog, even, you know, I don't want it to be super technical. Like marksandmore.net, it's nice because, okay, so here, let's back up.
Okay.
Back the F up. First thing. Okay, so I'm remaking my website. Before it was more of a, like, tell the family how I'm doing, blog, you know, with, like, wedding pictures and stuff like that. And so I kind of got fired up about brand image, primarily because I was doing a little consulting for a company here in town that I did a project for. And he, of course, Googled me, found my personal website, and was like, oh, congratulations on getting married this summer. You know, and I mean, that was cool. I was like, oh, thanks. But then it got me thinking, like, people look at that website when they hear of me, right? Mm-hmm. And I was a little embarrassed about that. So I'm trying to focus my personal brand image and my brand equity, you know, trying to leverage it a little bit. But here's the question. I mean, I feel hypocritical. One of the topics I like to talk about is trying to leverage your personal brand equity, you know, like how to profile yourself. But is it hypocritical of me? Because I'm like, I'm not that successful, you know? I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm no Gary Vaynerchuk. I'm not doing keynotes.
Right.
You know? But, like, those guys have to start somewhere, right?
Well,
or do you have to get successful and then only you can talk about then how to get successful?
I think you'll do better if you do, if you talk about something you are already successful in, mm-hmm. and then research it as you go.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not, I don't think there's anything wrong with starting with something that you're generally interested in, but you don't know anything about it.
Okay. As long as I don't come off as an expert and be like, listen, right. I've been,
that's the thing. If you say, hey, this, you know, I'm new at this and I think these are some great ideas to try out, mm-hmm. you know, then that's fine.
Yeah.
And I think if you're generally interested in something, you're going to be doing good on it.
Yeah.
You know, like Gary says.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, that's something he promotes. If you're interested in the branding stuff, then I think you could do it. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not an expert.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Cause it's, you kind of trying to think of how to articulate this, right? Like one of the good messages that Gary sends out is that it doesn't matter as long as you're genuine. It doesn't matter what you know, as long as you're honest about it. Because the big thing he found out is if you're not honest about it, people will catch you and expose you as a fraud, and then you're screwed.
Especially with the internet these days, with Facebook, Twitter. I mean, if you say something the wrong way or whatever, it's there pretty much permanently forever.
Yeah. And just man up and...
You got to be genuine. You can't lie. You can't deceit.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's just gonna be too hard to cover your tracks.
I mean, it's true.
I mean,
no,
if you literally wanted to, you know, yeah, it'd be too hard.
Yeah, well, that's very difficult.
You had a sudden change of personality and you want to go back.
Exactly.
It's not gonna work.
Like if you have ping.fm and every little status you send out goes to 12 different websites, it's kind of a bitch to go through and, like, you know, it's gonna catch someone's RSS feed before.
I think it's way, way easier now, you know, just to be genuine.
Well, one of the other hard things that I guess it's really difficult for me to figure out, but I mean, you and I grew up in this generation of doing this stuff every day. So, and I have a hard time sometimes realizing that we are experts at things. I mean, we are, right?
Right.
I mean, I think I told you the story the first time in my job, whenever someone called me an IT professional, I took like 5 minutes to like sit and think to myself like, oh,
guess I am.
I am an IT professional, you know? I mean, but, I mean, even the fact that, like, I mean, I use Twitter. I know companies that use Twitter. I critically analyze things like Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, I mean, it makes me more of an expert than a lot of people out there,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm the king of Twitter, Web 2.0, right. Emperor, bow down, but I know more than the companies out there, and they could use my help,
uh-huh.
I guess. I mean, that's, yeah. But then I don't want, like, the one thing I don't want is the hardcore nerds that are going to come in and, like, party poop. Why do they have to do that? Why do they have to party poop?
I have a personal policy. You know, any negative comments on my blog, I delete. All of them.
Really? Yeah. Everything?
Unless it adds value to the content, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just an insult or something that doesn't add any value, I delete it.
Yeah, that's my, so stupid. My way. Why? I mean...
Like if they say, oh, your article's crap and it's because, you know, you forgot to mention this thing, I might put it in just because it adds, yeah.
I'll respond to it immediately.
Yeah, I'll respond and say, yeah, mm-hmm. you're right. You know, I forgot mm-hmm. it. But if it doesn't add any value and it's just a negative comment, I delete it.
That's, yeah.
It's my blog. You know,
it's true. It is.
It's mine.
It is. That's a good call. Because there will always be people out there that want
right.
to pee on your Cheerios.
And that was
my mind.
I got that tip actually from the Pro Blogger website.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One of the articles on there.
You should link me up to that.
Yeah.
Because it's true.
You know, don't put up with it. You're going to have it all. Every blog. In fact, there were some statistics that went along with that article that I read. And it was like not almost all, but there was a lot of posts.
75%
a lot
of all comments. Statistics.
It's, yeah. A lot of the comments out there are negative comments.
Mm-hmm.
People, they don't want, if the article is great, sometimes they just don't even comment. They say that was a great article and they take the advice and they're done.
Yeah, it is.
If they catch a, you know, some, if they're like, oh, that's totally wrong, they mm-hmm. have, they feel compelled, they have to write a comment.
Yeah. So, well, like that article of yours that was on Dig, that guy responded to
exactly.
everything.
That's a good point.
And most of the time, which is stupid crap, like nothing useful. But I was like, really? And then someone made a comment after that. They're like, it just shows how much ridiculous, stupid spare time you have that you sit and
Yeah. For the people listening, it was a rec. It was a comment. It was like 700 mm-hmm. words or something.
So here's
about every. Basically, he rebutted every single point I made in my post.
Wow. And there was a lot in that post.
And I read. And I actually read through a lot of his stuff, and I didn't even respond to it because it was ridiculous.
Well, I read through every point, and there was like one or two good points. The thing is, and I think this should be the takeaway point of like our little recording today, is that, I mean, spread a little happiness if something's good, right? I mean, get that. You said that, and I said the exact, I thought about it in my head, and I do that completely. I say, oh, good article. Well, you know, maybe dig, yeah. Right? I'll say like, oh, I'll dig it, right?
But a lot of times you say that's a great article and you're done.
Yeah, it's like we almost assume everything out there is perfect and useful.
But if it's a terrible article, you're going to comment.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well,
you're going to at least be compelled to comment. You might not, but you're going to want to.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to want to say, oh, that's awful. Why would you ever, you know?
Yeah, it's funny.
That program's totally inferior to this one or whatever, you know?
Well, it's funny because, yeah, we have all these social user-generated websites out there, user-generated content, and that's the big thing right now. But with all that content, we almost inherently assume that it's good. Mm-hmm. And that is not the case at all. Or not even good, but just good to me. That's what everybody looks at. Like, everything out there should be good to me. Uh-huh. And it's not. Just because it's not good to you doesn't mean, I mean, someone who doesn't know crap about Linux would read your post. What Mark's post was about, I believe, useful applications in Linux.
Top 50 reasons why I love Linux.
Yeah, top 50 reasons why he loves Linux.
That article
loves
alone
Linux.
Is going to be compelled. I mean, that's going to be a controversy.
Yeah.
You know,
but it specifically said why I love Linux. Why Mark Sanborn likes Linux. Of course, not everybody's going to think that's, but immediately someone goes, that's not useful to me. I'm compelled to retort, you know,
like or what he's saying is that's not right. Windows is great. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's frustrating. It really is because, I mean, you need to recognize that. And this is a lot of people say that the big thing with Web 3.0 is going to be aggregation of all this user data to make it. Mm-hmm. So you only get what you want. And I think that's going to happen. And hopefully then negative comments will really decline then because people will be finding what's useful to them.
The other one is questions about troubleshooting or questions on the post. That's the other reason people post. An example of that was my UPS post.
Yeah, well.
No, I mean, like, well, I mean, I have a few that say, oh, this is an awesome, great, thanks post.
Yeah. Right? Well, you get a lot more on those than I ever thought I would see, to be honest with you.
I think I get about 500 page views per day on that and only, like, maybe one comment a day or every other
day
or something.
Yeah, right?
And it's usually, I can't get this working or exactly. Whatever. You know?
You're lucky there because you're giving people free work. So there's going to be less like, this is stupid. This is worthless.
True.
It's more like, make this work because my boss wants it done by tomorrow.
Yeah. But I mean, what was I going to say? I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
You're talking about comments. You get like 500 comments
or
500
say,
page views.
If you were to do the statistics on it, I would say that most of the comments are, you know, troubleshooting. I can't get it working.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh my God, that's a great post.
Yeah.
I think the point is that people believe that or it's like you said, it's automatic that the post is good. Mm-hmm. Why do I need to say, oh, that was a great post?
It's an inherent assumption while reading blogs on the internet is that this is good and useful to me.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
so
let people
basically
know.
How we got on this is negative comments. And that's how I deal with them because a lot of the comments are negative comments. And it's not a reflection of the article. You could have 500 people and 400 like it, and you've got four people say that they don't like it, but those are the ones that are going to comment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I just say if it's negative and it doesn't add value. I mean, obviously, if it's like, I don't agree with point number four, and here's why, but otherwise, you know, that's a good article. Or they don't even need to say it's a good article. If they have if they add value.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, you can look at one and say, this is a big problem I think in America right now is people aren't realizing that other people have opinions and that your opinion isn't inherently right. So like, I mean, you can say like, oh, you know, I don't agree with you, but the other thing is I think most of the people out there viewing have no idea what it's like to create content.
Tough. Okay, so I got into this blogging stuff, and I was like, oh, this is easy. You know, I read these posts, and I was like, I could do way better than this guy, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, exactly.
You sit down and you start going, and it's like, okay, now I got to insert an image, a screenshot of the, what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. and I got to do this, and I add this to Photoshop, and it all of a sudden you're like 2 hours into this post, and it looks like crap. And you're like, this is crap compared to this other guy's.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like you don't realize how much work some people put in posts.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I mean,
like you're like, oh, I could do that in 10 minutes. No, it's more like 2 hours. And
well, then, even top 50 reasons why I love Linux, right? I mean, yeah. that is a tough post.
Right.
Even though it's like 100% your opinion, what you think and what you like, things you might even be fired up about at the time. Like, yeah. And that takes time. It's hard. And I mean, most of these people, I would like to see their English scores in college or high school because, I mean, if you're going to comment, don't comment about my article when you don't even have the ambition to. I mean, like that one guy replied to every point in your thing. He could have written an article.
Yeah, he could have.
He could have written.
That would have been the smart thing.
Yeah, he could have written
a blog, write an article, back and say, to it. Hey, I'm responding to this article.
Yep, give you a track thing. Back and say, like, hey, this is my response. Like, oh, in response to 50 Reasons Why, if he would have done that, I would have had much more mad props for him.
Right.
Mad props.
And then I could come back with something maybe. With another post.
Instead of just being like a D-bag.
Well, it would have been a playful thing. Like, check this guy's stuff. Here's what he thinks and here's what Mark thinks.
Like respectful discussion.
Right.
Right.
But the way he did it.
I don't know. I would say. So we're right about an hour. So you know what I would say? I think the takeaway of this is, frameworks are pretty good, I think. I think they're on the rise. So try new stuff. Don't be too resistant. You know, get pumped up. Get stuff done. And if you like something, let someone know and be genuine about it because don't be like one of those guys that's like, genius, you're a genius. Come on. But be genuine and give people good props because the internet's a tough place.
Yeah.
And some people need an e-hug.
And comments are kind of new. Like, you know, just give them, give them a try.
Yep.
Say a good article.
Good article. Have an e-hug.